Hello, Ashley, Nicole.
Hey, Taryn.
You're sipping, hey, Taryn, so Renee. I was like, how can I, like, draw this out to give me a second? Okay, this fact or fiction is actually fascinating.
Oh, fascinating.
Okay. Did you know if you took a child's entire circulatory system, so like veins, arteries, capillaries, all that stuff, and if you stretched it and laid it flat, how many miles do you think it would cover?
Twenty.
60,000.
What?
Isn't that fascinating?
What?
I don't even understand that.
I would have never guessed that.
I don't understand that.
I wasn't even close.
Yeah. And then it says, by the time we reach adulthood, our bodies have become home to approximately 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That's just one of the mind-blowing facts.
And it's all wrapped up inside of us?
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't quite get it.
I don't get it.
But it's cool.
Do we fact check this?
No, it says it was according to the Franklin Institute, which sounds really official to me.
It does sound really official. Okay. This is fact, people.
This is
not
fact.
Fiction.
So if you're in science class,
if you're questioning us, don't.
Biology.
Science.
Knowledge.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley.
I'm Taryn.
And we are here with another episode in the new year.
Yeah, we are.
A fresh start,
new
some
year,
might say.
Same-ish us.
Same issues.
No, it was funny. We'll post it on our story, but I did a TikTok with, it's that sound of the kid from Even Stevens being interviewed where he's like, I just hope I can totally crack up. Have you heard that on TikTok? No. It's the little, I think it's Even Stevens. No, he's the little brother in Lizzie McGuire, I think.
Oh.
I don't know, one of those.
Okay.
But I did that sound to, like, with text. It was like when I reread my, like, past New Year's Eve resolutions.
New Year's resolutions. Yeah. We always go, like, as a society, we always go too hard.
Too hard. And honestly, I think the problem is too specific.
Too, like, well, it's also, like, let's do a cliche one. I'm going to go work out every single day.
Or I'm going to lose 25 pounds.
Yeah. Like, let's not dive into that. Let's start a doable goal. Yeah. A doable goal is required. Because I feel like we all beat ourselves up for not hitting these things. But it's like, it's because you went too big, too hard. Like, you got to.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, like the, like, if I go grocery shopping when I'm hungry, I'm going to buy
everything.
When you come into New Year's, at least me, any like, fresh start type of day, so, like, birthday, New Year's, that kind of – I love those kind of days. And I feel super inspired and super, like, amped up to, like, do something. So it's, like, if you make resolutions in that kind of, like, flow, I feel like they're going to be so epic and you need to, like, be realistic. And some people work well with, like, I will work out three times a week, every whatever, and they work well with that. But I've found out that I don't, and I don't like setting myself up for failure. Well, like, I feel enough on the reg. Like, I don't need to do it to myself.
Well, it's also a toxic – if we're going to be – let's just dive into it.
Let's just get into it.
If we're going to dive into this, let's do it. It's a toxic cycle to literally say – commit to something and fail. Is setting yourself up for failure. I have listened to so many things that is like, if you want to become better at something, you have to start small. You have to start manageable. Don't say, I'm going to run 5 miles a day. Start moving your body every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be 5 miles. It could be just walking a lap in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But committing to that movement once a day is way more doable than committing to 3 miles a day.
No, for sure.
So, like, why do that to yourself? And you know what's going to happen? I've listened to so many podcasts. I've read so many articles about this. Is you're going to start being proud of yourself and noticing that you committed to that little thing.
Yeah.
That little thing.
Yeah.
But guess what? You did it. You did the damn thing.
Yep.
So then, you know, after a couple weeks of doing that, you're going to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to do a jog, a light jog. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start committing to that job.
For sure.
And then one day you're like, I might just, you know, shoot my shot. I'm going to do a mile today.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I'm not saying you're going to be like a marathon runner, but like you'll be doing more than you thought you could.
For sure.
Because you have prepped yourself for it. Jumping in with no kind of like lifeboat is not okay.
Yeah.
And it's only going to set yourself up for failure. So why do that?
Yeah. I think like I've started to do more like broad areas. So for me this year, the first one is, I feel like similar to years before, but I really want to be brave this year. Like I want to not let decisions be made because fear is in the equation.
Yeah.
So I think I hold myself back a lot. Like I'll have all these ideas and I'll be like, oh, I want to take an acting class. But I'm like, I'm scared I'm going to suck and then people are going to think I'm lame. So then I don't do it. So like I really want to just work on being brave and like stepping through when things scare me. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, and me and my friend Danielle, we were just talking about this because I think we both are in a similar place.
Yeah.
I've realized this. I feel like this statement's going to sound weird. I have always been someone who's like really good at everything, but I don't push to excel at anything.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes. So I'm like looking back and I'm like, I miss like practicing for a sport or like rehearsing for dance or like doing things that like challenged me. Like right now, everything in my life, I'm doing really well with minimal effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like that is creating that lazy mentality of like, I'm scared to risk anything because I don't have to and I'm fine.
Well, it's like the genius that's passing class by getting C's.
Yeah. No,
you're capable of so.
Literally my biggest argument with my parents all the time because I wouldn't study, I wouldn't prep, I wouldn't do anything. And then I'd go in and just get like okay grades. And that used to bother them so much. And now when I look back, I'm like, what formed that mentality? And like, it's just hard because I just pick up things fast and I can like do whatever in situations. Like I can like fake my way through things. But I'm like, no, I think this year, like, I want to make myself uncomfortable and I want to put enough effort to where, like, I feel a risk if I don't, like, accomplish something, which is scary, but I'm going to be brave.
I think what it is it's a confidence and a skill that you do have of being able to get through things, of being able to multitask and doing multiple things. But it's also a form of laziness of, oh, I don't want to put in that much effort. Mm. So it's a mixture. It's weird because it's a mixture of having a gift of being able to like hustle and like, yes, you can procrastinate because you are able to get stuff done really quick. But that doesn't mean you're doing the best that you possibly can.
Exactly.
So, and I mean, I was the same way in high school. So you're not alone. I know everyone listening is like, yeah, me.
Same.
So I love that. I think that's great.
That's my focus. What about you?
I think something that I would love to focus on is just balance. I think I have so many really good things happening. Work, friends, moving out on my own place, even with such a like a big fun like accomplishment. And I think it's hard for me to juggle all of the things evenly.
Yeah.
Like I struggle really hard with focusing in on one thing fully. And it's hard for me to be like, oh yeah, I should like plants.
Yeah.
You know, like I love my fiddle. I'm going to focus on my fiddle this is such a weird analogy. I'm going to love on my fiddle for like the longest time. And then I'll look back and be like, oh my God, that one's dying. You know, like I want this year, I would love to really get into a better flow of just balance. And that obviously goes towards everything. Like even just like food. Mm-hmm. I would love to just like, yes, I'm going to splurge on this and then like get back into the groove over here. Or yeah, I'm going to work out hard, but it doesn't have to be like a hit F45 workout every single day.
Yeah.
Like that is in retrospect, like kind of harming my career because I'm prioritizing that heavy, intense workout every single day. And now I'm too tired to vlog or whatever. And even the podcast, like I would love to like focus harder on the podcast. So in multiple ways of my life, I would love to include balance.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to come down to like making a schedule, mm-hmm. a very balanced schedule for the week with all of my businesses and all my personal things and just sticking to it.
Yeah. No, I love that.
But that's great for me because I love a schedule.
Yeah.
I love a to-do list. So I'm looking forward to sitting down and making that.
Cool. Wow.
That's great. I feel like these are very like very positive, and I feel like it's like snowballing from areas we've already been trying to work on.
Yeah.
But it's like just resetting that intentionality of like
100%.
I'm gonna focus on this.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
Little recenteredness.
Yeah, I love it. I have two things to say.
Oh, interesting.
One, actually two texts from friends that I wanted to share. One of the things, so my friend Penny, she said her new thing to do is she listens to podcasts at half speed and it helps her fall asleep. Which I've never heard of that, but like it's kind of brilliant because it's just like slow talking. And she said she happened to just put our podcast on because mm-hmm. she loves our podcast from Monday when we were doing the word association thing a few episodes back. And she was like, it was so funny listening to it slow. She's like, I'm still dying. But I was just like, that's so funny. So now I failed. I should have like screen recorded what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Damn. But anyways, if you're looking for a good laugh, apparently that's the thing to do.
Not only do we give advice, but we'll help you sleep.
We will help you sleep.
Just put us on slow. Slow-mo.
I'm trying to imagine like two, I don't know. I think that's why the whole like on TikTok that like voice thing is going around, you know, like where everyone's recording in that voice filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just funny when like things sound different from like what you would usually expect, you know. Yeah. Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com. The other one, my friend Tyler sent a text and it's kind of a tearing it up. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we can just like use this as our tearing it up unless you have one you want to use.
I mean, I did, but we'll see how funny this is. If it makes the cut.
No pressure, Tyler. Okay, he texts me. Taryn, which also I'm just seeing that I did not respond at all. So
but classic Taryn.
So sorry. I just had this conversation with, again, my friend Danielle because we hung out the other day and I was like, she mentioned, she's like, well, you don't respond.
You don't.
And I don't, like, it's so hard because I feel like I've told so many people so many times, but I think in the moment, like, people just don't think about it. When my anxiety is bad, I can't, I physically, mentally, emotionally cannot respond. Mm-hmm. So I see the text and I kind of like dialogue in my head, but then I never go back and respond. And it's not intentional. It's not like, there's no malice behind it. And so I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, double text me. Like, if I don't respond, just shoot me a text and be like, hello. And chances are, like, I'll respond right away and be like, I'm so sorry because, like, I'm not in that moment anymore. Mm-hmm. But every time, like, I tell people that all the time. I'm like, hey, if I don't respond, I'm either in a meeting or my anxiety is bad. Like, that's what's going on. But yeah. I know. I feel bad. So I'm re-saying it here if anyone's listening. Okay. He said, Taryn, I'm listening to the October 3rd podcast of Spooktober. I know I'm months late, but I just finished the story of the man outside the girl's house who hacked into the security cameras.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was a rough
one.
That
was rough.
He said, I'm outside raking up our leaves with headphones on, and I'm literally shaking. He said, I turn around to catch my breath, and my neighbor was standing in our driveway. I jumped so high and screamed like a little girl. He said, Spooktober messes with me big time. And he said, oh, and that was our first time meeting too. So great first impression.
The new neighbor's like, Bro, my neighbor's also, weird.
Like, he's super tall.
Uh-huh.
And I just can imagine, like, this, like, tall, like, man raking leaves, and he turns and is like, ah! You know what I mean?
I picture, like, a Nick Miller New Girl scream.
Oh, my God, of course. Or, like, the Home Alone.
Yeah.
Epic scream.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So good. But I don't know. It was just fun because I got, like, both of those texts from friends. And I still, I don't know about you, but, like, I still, when friends are like, oh, my God, your podcast was so good the other day, I'm like, you listen.
That's what I had this moment, well, not just with the podcast, but even with my clothing brand. I was saying, like, I know it's a good drop when my friends in my real life are like, hey, I need this. Then I'm like, oh, that's
a good one.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Not just like a random person on socials. Like, my friend is like, oh, I need this.
Well, also, like,
It's something about, like, your own friends in real life listening to your content, liking your content, liking your clothes, like, whatever you're putting out there. When your real friends are like, hey, I'm genuinely loving your podcast, it means a lot. It's different.
Yeah, I remember, like, with Parallel, I feel like a friend supporting is like, oh, I got a shirt the other day. It was so cute. But, like, I remember there's been a couple of your launches where I'm like, dude, I just bought one of everything. Like, it's so cute, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, it just means a lot when it's, like, I don't know, like, people in your life that you're like, I know you and I think you're super cool. So the fact that, like, you listen on your own, like, that's cool. Yeah. It's like a way of, like, gauging.
I know there's other podcasts that you like, that you listen to, but you're choosing to listen to mine. That means a lot.
Absolutely.
And, like, I'm going to say something also.
Oh, okay. I mean, you always talk during the podcast,
Tyler was talking about October series. Don't know if you guys listened to the entire October series, then you'll get it. If you didn't, you should stop what you're doing and listen to the full October series of last year. But there was one where this child, adult now, writing in their story, was seeing, like, an old woman and twins in the closet.
Yeah.
I, every night since reading that story, have to close my closet door.
Oh, seriously?
1,000%.
Oh, Ash. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a lot to do with the fact that I am living alone now.
Well, also, but where your bed now is
literally
facing your closet, whereas before, like, it was kind of like you had to go around the corner.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
My bedroom positioning specifically is my bed looking at my closet. So every night now, I have to close the door.
Yeah.
And it is my, like, nighttime routine. And I'm like, I did this to myself. I did this part of my routine. I'm doing skincare. I start brushing my teeth. I walk over. I close my closet door.
I remember, like, halfway through that story, mentally, I was like, and you need to check out.
Yeah.
Like, you need to check out mentally and be like, this is not real.
I think about it too much.
Let it roll off you.
Yeah. But it's okay. We have so many months until the next October series to. Yeah.
We'll be, like, barely recovered. Yeah. No, this one was rough. I was like, dude, I'm done.
Some,
like,
stuff
I need
y'all
a second.
It was crazy.
I need a second. I feel like that was a great tearing it up, Ash.
No, that was perfect.
Okay.
That was actually really good.
Good job, Ty.
Well done. Well, should I, since you did the tearing it up.
Yes, this never happens.
I get to do my story first.
Which is funny because you always say it's your favorite thing when you go first because then you can just chill the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
But then you always want to do the tearing it up and I feel like it just naturally feels.
It is.
Because otherwise it'd be like 30 minutes of me just talking straight.
True. And nobody wants that.
Everybody wants that.
This one is titled A Fraternal Love Triangle.
Okay, wait. So that means twins in a love triangle?
We shall see.
Ooh, Joseph.
Dear Ashley and Taryn, my boyfriend, Brady, and I have been dating for 2 years. It's mostly a sweet story because we first met in 8th grade at a tiny private school.
Cute.
We reconnected after college, and it's been such a lovely surprise with him. Since when we were in high school together, we were never interested in each other. I feel like that's, you know.
That's really cute.
And that's normal for high school, at least for me. It's not cute.
I was cute my entire life, but like, you know what we should do? We should make a reel that's like, because I have like my school picture from every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should do yours too.
That's not fair.
But
you're doing this knowing we're all going to laugh at my photos.
But let me, this is a very honest statement. I tell you and Alicia this all the time because you both had a very rough period.
We did.
I'm genuinely jealous of that, because looking back at your old pictures is so funny.
Looking at Taryn, she looks exactly the same.
No, but like, if I'm like, oh, look at this picture of me in junior high, you're like, oh, you're cute. Yours, we laugh for like hours. I would much rather have that than mine.
Fine.
You have to admit, we've gotten so much joy out of like your boy haircut.
Oh my God. It wasn't great, guys.
It's cute.
It wasn't great.
Like mine's like boring. It's boring. I just like am the same with a rounder face.
Fine.
Do you see now?
We'll do it. Okay. You're welcome. Anyways, where were we? Never interested in each other. Okay. That was partially because his brother, Cameron, had a huge crush on me that entire time. All three of us were in the same grade. Cameron first asked me out in 10th grade, 8 years ago, she adds in parentheses, and I said no.
Wait, are they twins? The boys are twins.
She hasn't specifically said twins. Okay. She said brothers. I'm assuming twins, but... we remained friends, and despite various other dates / invites over the years, I always politely told him I saw him as a friend, and I believed him when he said he respected that. This accumulated in a love letter he sent me 4 years ago, in which he described this as a Jim and Pam scenario.
Oof.
With him always relating to Jim immensely.
Oof.
I wrote him a letter back and thought the message was clear. 2 years after that, Brady and I reconnected. From day one, Cameron was always a concern, but I assumed after repeated rejections, he would have gotten over it. Also, please note that Cameron at this time is 25 years old, but I was very wrong. Cameron has created an insane amount of problems for Brady and I these last 2 years. From spreading lies, turning their mutual friend group against me, having emotional fits, and blowing every possible situation out of proportion. He's done it all. At one point, 6 months in, we had to have a mediated sit-down with their father in which I listed out how I never loved him. He doesn't actually love me, and I don't understand why he feels like, as he called it, she adds in quotes, the bro code has been violated.
Oof.
I have not spent the last two Christmases with my boyfriend's family because of Cameron. Everyone is afraid he will cause a scene and, at the worst of times, physically hurt himself. He does suffer from depression, and there are other areas of his life, not just this, that seems to play into his mental health problems. Historically, I have bowed out of any social event with Cameron to keep the peace, but it's been 2 years and 8 years since my first formal rejection of him. I think his friends and family are getting tired of coddling his unjustified emotions, but seemingly no one is willing to put their foot down. I will say, when Cameron is not around, I have a great amicable time with his friends and family. It's just simply when Cameron is there that things become an epic drama storm. Brady and Cameron have grown up basically as twins and are very close, and Brady is always worried that he will lose Cameron forever. Any advice would be great, anonymous.
Dude.
Right?
Dude.
Right?
That's tough. This is crazy.
Especially with the added mental health. Because without that, it would be a simple, easy matter of talking to his parents and being like, hey, listen, you need to talk to your son and get him on the same page. But clearly, it's a much more delicate situation. You can't just handle it like that. And it's also, it's tough because it's also, it's not fair to her. Like, she did everything right. She never let him on. She never even let him, like, toy with the idea of being with her. She was very clear from the beginning she wasn't interested in him. So, and she's even been, like, bowing out of events and, like, family gatherings to keep everyone happy. So I feel like she's been doing her part really well.
No, yeah. I wish like I would have known a little bit more of like what her boyfriend's been doing.
Yeah.
Cause that's interesting, because that's like the sibling dynamic.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like this guy has fixated on her being like the problem. Like he has a lot of animosity towards her.
It sounds like Cameron has created a fictional story in his head where you are his.
And you're the problem.
You are.
Well, because didn't it say, like, he's turned mutual friends against me. Mm-hmm. It didn't say like against us. It said me.
Well, that's what I mean is I think in his head, it's like the whole Dibs thing we talked about a while ago. Like in his head, you're his. And his brother took you from him. So that's where the narrative needs to be, in my opinion. This isn't your job. In my opinion, this is between brothers. And in my opinion, your boyfriend, Brady, needs to sit Cameron down and explain how you're a human who made your choice and that he didn't steal you, that you've been very clear from the beginning, you know? Like, that's – I feel like you did your part. It sounds like the family slash brother of Cameron need to, like, sit him down and explain to him how he doesn't own you and you were never
taken. He's 25. Like, that's where I think it's much deeper than
– Yeah. And I get being scared because –
But I get because I had a few – guys that I was absolutely in love with and like everyone knew, and I remember like one specific guy, like he was my first, like I was like, I actually think I'm in love with this guy. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends ended up dating him. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling so incredibly like betrayed and just heartbroken, and like, how could she do that knowing like how much I loved him and like all this stuff? I was like super young.
I was gonna say, but at what age?
But even at that age, I was able to, I still internally threw up every time I saw them together.
Right.
But I never was like mean to them. I mean, me and her, our friendship kind of dwindled, but that was more just like, I was like, I just don't wanna be around it a ton. Mm-hmm. But I never was like rude, or I never like was like, well, I'm still going to try to get him back because I liked him first. Like it was like I mourned it and then I moved on. So that's why I think it's like very clear something about you he's like imprinted on.
Yeah.
And it's I don't think it necessarily at this point is even you. I think you are just the face of a much deeper demon he's trying to like battle.
Yeah. If I were in your shoes, and again, this isn't your. I don't even think it's right for you to necessarily take the lead on this. I think your boyfriend Brady needs to do it. But I think it's very. I agree with Taryn. Something much deeper is going on, and you're just the face of it. It has nothing to do with you necessarily. It has everything to do with him, his emotions, feeling hurt, maybe feeling rejected. It is hard to be rejected. But I do think the family needs to sit him down and make it clear. Like you've been dating for.
2 years.
A couple years now. Like, that's a long time you guys to have to put up with that and to tiptoe around his feelings. He is a grown man. And I think he needs to be treated like a grown man and told that he can't. Like, it's very vindictive what he's doing, causing drama, turning friends against you. That's very, I don't want to say evil, but that's like kind of maniacal in strategizing against you guys. And I think the family needs to call him out on it because it's unacceptable.
I'm just very curious because I know that there's sometimes this sibling dynamic of comparison. Mm-hmm. And I think especially with boys, I don't think that they're taught well to express emotion, or like, you know, like if a guy were to be like, I'm just jealous of my brother, he gets everything I want, you would be like, oh my God, like toughen up, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't think society has done a good job of letting like men express emotions like that, whereas girls, like that's a normal thing to be like, oh, you're prettier than me, I'm sad, like whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if there maybe is like an underlining issue of him feeling superior to his brother, and like that's amplifying it of like, not only is he happy in a relationship, but he's with this girl that I've put my best foot forward, I've pursued, I've like loved for this many years, and not only does she not feel the same, but she chose him instead. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think there's a lot of depth to this situation that again is not your fault at all. But I think that that's just very present. And I think if I were you, I would make sure that you continue to remind yourself, this has not, even though I'm the face of this, this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And it's just hard because I feel like you can choose different avenues. Like I totally could see the path of being like, hey, this is my life too. I'm not going to keep tiptoeing around. If I want to go to a party, you're just going to have to like suck it up and deal with it. Mm-hmm. Or like, I think I lean towards, and I do have like, my stupid empathy is like too strong for my, for my own good. But for me, if I saw him struggling with like mental health, I think I would be a little bit like, you know what? My relationship is fine. If I don't get to go to a party or if I need to like work on like pouring into a separate group of friends that's not a part of you, like for the time being, then that's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hoping that once he finds someone and he starts to actually like progress in other areas of life, that eventually we're going to get to a point where we're good.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I'd be like, I just don't want to keep putting myself around this like attack. And I also like don't want to be a part of like you going downhill. So I'm just going to like create space. I'll come around. If stuff starts to flare up, I'll be like, hey, babe, like, I'll see you later. Like,
yeah.
Let's meet up after the party. Like,
yeah.
I think that would be just me personally. I'm not telling you to do this. Me personally, I feel like that's kind of like the route I would take.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know because I'm not like in that situation.
Right. I will say dating for 2 years does give you a say, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not in the family legally, but like you've been around and you've paid your dues. And I think you do have a place in this situation to state your feelings. And I do think it would be, obviously Christmas has already passed, but I would sit down with your boyfriend and your mom and just be like, I want family events like this next year. I want things to go smooth for us. I want to have a good time and be involved in family things. And I want Cameron to have a good time and be involved in things. Does that look like us showing up for maybe a little bit and leaving early? Does that mean we come early to things, hang out, and then when Cameron comes, leave?
Yeah.
Do we talk to Cameron and say, hey, you need to get over this? Like, let her, let them live, let them be happy together? Or do you think, like, ask his mom, do you think it would help if I, like, you, Anonymous, sat down with Cameron and just said, hey, like I... you're one of my favorite people and I want to be able to spend time with you and get to know you better as, you know, my boyfriend's brother. But you're making this really hard. Would love to see what I can do. Like, I don't, there's different, like Taryn said, there's different ways to handle this. And I think between your boyfriend and his, their mom, like you'll be able to figure out like, should you have a conversation with him? Should the mom have a conversation with him? Should the whole family like sit down with him and tell him to knock it off?
Yeah.
But I do think 2 years is long enough to where your opinion is valid and your feelings should be heard and you shouldn't have to hide at every family event.
Yeah, I think I would probably because I had a relationship with Cameron, if I'm like putting myself in her shoes, right? I think I would sit and
by relationship, friendship.
A friend, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like
I was just clarifying for you.
Yeah. I think I would sit him down and I would let myself be very emotional and vulnerable. And I would just be straight to the point. I'd be like, okay, I am very sorry that this didn't work out the way you wanted. I'm sorry that I've been involved in hurting you. That was never my intention. And I'm sorry that you feel the way that you do. I really genuinely am. But I'm at a point where I don't know what you want me to do. Like, do you genuinely want me to just never come around? Would that make you happy? Like, do you want me to, like, not speak to you? Are you going to keep treating me like this? Because you're making my life miserable. And if that's your goal, congratulations. But, like, I want to be at a place where I have a relationship with you. And I'm at a loss of, like, I don't know what to do. So please tell me, like, what do you want from me?
Yeah. And also I feel like making it clear that your emotions aren't your fault. Like, just because you don't love him back doesn't mean you're intentionally hurting him. It's just how it is.
No, but yeah. And I think coming, if you come at a place like that of just showing, like,
vulnerability,
I don't know what to do. Like, I'm at a loss. Like, it would be interesting, like, his response to that. And then I would also be like, okay, so if we can't come to an agreement, here's the deal. I'm going to keep coming to things. if you don't want to see me and you don't want to come, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. But if you are coming, and that's where the family needs to step in and the brother needs to step in.
Yeah.
If you are going to choose to come and be around knowing I'm here, you have to be respectful. Like, you can't do digs. You can't be talking bad about me. You can't have blow up. So either don't show up or we take turns not showing up. But when we are together, like, this behavior can't continue. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I feel like once you've had that, like, exchange, and then boundaries need to be drawn, mm-hmm. and other people need to help enforce them.
Yeah, specifically.
It's family.
The family.
Like, if my brother started acting a certain way towards, I'm trying to think. There was one guy that I was talking to that he didn't like.
Uh-huh.
And he was very, very obvious that he didn't like him, like, mm-hmm. would ignore him, like, whatever. And I remember I finally got to a point where I was like, hey, I get you don't like what decisions I'm making right now, but I need you to understand that, like, I'm doing the best I can right now with what's going on.
Yeah. And as my family.
Yeah. And I was like, I love your opinion. Tell me your opinion.
Yeah.
You don't have to like him. You don't have to be best friends. But if he says hi to you, you need to say hi back. Like, yeah. it's awkward. It's yeah. weird. And so, like, we had that, and he still hated him. Like, but there was, like, this mutual just, like, you
I'm
have
doing
to respect
this for you.
Him.
Yeah.
And if like, Brett acted up, I would have probably in the moment addressed it and been like, okay, this is weird. We're going to go ahead and take off. And then separately, I would have reached out to Brett, because that's my sibling.
Mm-hmm.
So if my sibling is affecting someone I'm dating, it's my job to step in.
Yeah.
So then I would step in and be like, hey, like, what? Like, that can't happen anymore. Like,
yeah.
that can't happen. Which I don't think Brett would ever, like, push that line. But, like, I'm using this as an example of, like, if I felt like someone I loved was being treated badly mm-hmm. by a family member, as family, that's your job. That's your blood.
Yeah.
You step in.
And you know what? Maybe because you guys haven't, it seems like from what I'm reading, haven't had that one-on-one conversation between you, Anonymous, and Cameron, maybe that would kind of help him realize, like, you are trying to do your part and he needs to do his. Like, the only reason this isn't working is because of him.
Yeah.
Maybe that would give him an opportunity to be like, okay, I guess this is all on me now. She's apologized. She's made it clear that, you know, not loves me, but, like, she cares for me. And obviously she loves my brother. This isn't going to change. I'm going to stop. Like, maybe that'll give him
the
opportunity to step up.
Because she said they had to have, like, a mediated conversation.
Yes.
So I'm assuming it's very volatile. Like, I'm assuming he's not a level-headed person. So I don't know. I'm always a fan of, like, I always, even if I'm being mistreated, I'll give one more final attempt.
Yeah.
So maybe that's writing a letter and just very clearly giving out everything, like, you have to say as one more, and being very clear, like, this has been 2 years and it's been very hard, but, like, I just want to give one more olive branch of, like, I would love to make this work. I would love to be able to sit with you and talk with you about what would make you comfortable, mm-hmm. what would make me comfortable. But moving forward, like, if we can't come to an agreement, if we can at least just agree on, like, mutual respect, like,
yeah.
that's all I'm asking for. So maybe even that, like, you send that off, and then from there, you wash your hands of it, and you just do what's best for you and your boyfriend.
Oh,
you
100%.
Know?
I'm also going to say one more thing. If for some reason, like, you have this whole conversation with him, the family sits him down, and it's still not working, in the end, you've been in this family with your boyfriend for 2 years. You deserve a happy holidays. You deserve a happy, like, birthdays. Your boyfriend should have this family around. I would just accept the fact that you guys are going to have to work a little harder to see your family and do separate things.
And that's normal. There's
that's
so many
so
people
common.
That can't go around their family because of, like, toxic relationships.
Yeah,
so,
or just think of, like, divorced families.
Exactly.
Like, two birthdays is fine. Maybe you can throw a birthday party where you can invite some of the family members, primarily, like, his closest family members, obviously not his brother, and then some of his friends, and then he can have his own birthday party with his family, but at least you're getting to spend those precious moments with them together. And I would just make that part of your routine for the foreseeable
yeah.
future. Like, Christmases, New Year's, Thanksgivings, like, you can just throw your own a couple days early or a couple days after. And that
yeah, like,
can be
almost
it
give
until
your, like, one final attempt
yeah.
and then mourn the loss of, like, the normal family in-laws relationship you thought you were going to have
mm-hmm.
and create a new one
yeah.
and, like, move forward with that.
So many people have different types of relationships with their families and have to do stuff like this. And it's a bummer, because it's clearly based off of this one guy. And it's really frustrating. But at the same time, like, you can go ahead and plan around this and you'll be okay. I think it's just a matter of giving it one last shot and then accepting it.
Yeah. And maybe like the family, like if it gets to a point where you're like, okay, if you can't agree to be around us and be respectful, we're just going to have to take shifts. Like you come to the beginning, I come to the end of things. Yeah. Maybe the family, like once they start seeing how complicated it's all getting and like, I'm sure like their mom is going to be like, oh, I wish Cameron was here right now because we're doing this and or vice versa. Like if the beginning they're like, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Like whatever it is, maybe the family seeing like how incredibly complicated everything's got.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll like motivate them to step in and be like, hey.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Like
it's so common.
I get that. Well, also mental health, you have to be mental health. You can't justify saying you need to get over this, because if you severely are in a mental health episode, rationale doesn't matter. Like I can, if I'm depressed about something or I'm going through anxiety, you telling me like, why are you anxious about that? It's going to be fine. That does nothing. It probably will push me further, right?
Yeah.
Like just in general. So if it's a severe mental health issue, they need to step in on getting him help and drawing boundaries of like, hey, we get you're going through this, but like this is the expected behavior moving forward. And if you can't do this, then we're going to have to create some separation, like whatever. But that's something like his family needs to step in and support him if he is really in like a severe mental health break. Like they need to get him help because that's much bigger than just the situation going on.
Yeah.
But if he's in like a stable place and is just causing problems because he's like throwing a fit, then it's handled differently. So I feel like that's a massive factor that needs to be weeded out before like figuring out what to do next.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of families tend to be desensitized to the issues within their family just because they're used to it. They've seen it for years and years. So they're probably just like, oh, it's just Cameron being Cameron. And they're not seeing it as detrimental as it is on you because they're so used to it.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend you do that one last olive branch of putting forth effort to make it work. And if it's a no-go, you tried your best.
Mm-hmm.
You all did. I would leave family matters to family matters because technically you're not in the family yet. Like, let them deal with that.
Yeah, take advantage of the
enjoy that while you can, and then start throwing your own things and just being very clear that you're doing this so that your boyfriend can enjoy family peacefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Gosh.
But thank you for writing in. That is such a specific situation that I don't feel like anyone has ever written in before.
It's a movie.
That is a whole movie. That is a whole. Honestly, send that in.
Pitch your story. At least you could get rich off of
that.
Like,
is a Hallmark movie waiting to happen.
No, literally. Yeah, wow. I'm sending all the prayers and vibes for that one because that's a heavy. It's, you know, it's funny. I don't know how severe, like she said in passing, like his mental health and harming himself. So I don't know the severity of his. It reminded me of, I saw a TikTok the other day of like a doctor and he was talking about specifically like he had a patient come in that had severe autism and the patient ended up attacking him because he like freaked out about something. Oof. And his caregiver was like his aunt or something and she stepped in between them to physically try to help restrain. And so afterwards, the doctor was talking to her and was like, I am so sorry, like, because obviously, like, it was, like, a larger, like, male, and she was, like, smaller, so he was, like, worried about her getting hurt. And she looked at him and was like, oh, my gosh, don't worry. This is, like, what I deal with on the daily. And the doctor was, like, emotional because he was like, you know, I have a hard patient and they leave, but, like, this caregiver, like, that's her normal life. And I think a lot of times with – and this is like on topic but off topic. But a lot of times like family members or like people in the lives of people who have severe mental health or I mean even like in that case like a developmental delay or some or whatever it is, right? Like it affects so many people and I think sometimes people just get exhausted and want to check out, but like if you have someone in your family who's struggling with certain things, like, it weighs heavy on you too. And so it's like, this is obviously a much like lessened version of like what I was talking about, but it's just, I would be interested to see if the family has just gotten to a place where they're just exhausted, and if he just like casually has to like throw these fits and be in mediated conversations to like do whatever, and is going and turning people against people. Like, I wonder if they're just at a place where they just like don't have the fight left in them. And so it's easier for them to just like step back because they're just exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
And although it's easy to come in and be like, this is ridiculous. Why is no one standing up for me? Like, why is no one like pushing forward? I think in life in general, I think you're more successful if you can step back and think about what everyone else is like going through. And if his mental health is that severe, I would be curious to know if the family is just exhausted, you know? And so for me, if I walked in and I saw that and was like, okay, they're not stepping in because they're like lazy or they don't like me enough, they just like don't have the fight in them right now, then for me, that would help me to be like, okay, then like I'm going to do what's best for me in this situation and not try to rely on them or be offended if they don't step in, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why it's like, that's such a crucial part to the story.
Yeah. It's a very messy situation.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry, but thank you for writing in. And I feel like do your last little effort and then focus on you and your boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all you can do.
There's tons of people who have to create their own families and their own separate traditions. Very common, unfortunately.
I feel like it could be fun. It could be fun for you guys. Like, oh, we get to celebrate New Year's, just us.
And like
Let's
I said,
do something fun and special.
I would be super curious. Like, say, like for Christmas, like I know that's past, but like, say for Christmas, like if you guys were to just be like, you know what, it's okay. I see how this is stressful for everyone. We got a cabin in Big Bear and we're just going to go spend a few days up there. Yeah. Like, I hope you have so much fun.
Have fun, bye.
Sent presents. We send a selfie of us at Big Bear. Like, Merry Christmas. And, like, I would just be so curious how that would start to snowball things. Because, like.
Oh, they are having to celebrate.
Because, well, and Cameron, like, I would hope he'd sit there and be like, okay. Like, if there's no one to fight with.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if in the moment he'd be like.
They're not here because of me.
They're not there and I feel bad. Or like seeing how it affects the family, if he'd be like, dang, like this needs to get figured out. Also, if the parents, probably mom would be like, my kid's not here.
Sure,
like,
she'd
blah,
be
blah.
A mess. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Like, I wonder if like throwing just a random wrench in would be enough to like start to inspire change. But absolutely. I don't know.
You've got this, baby girl.
It's a movie. It's Sell a your movie. Story. But also, can you please like update us?
I mean, yeah. I would love to know what happens.
I want
to
know how the holidays went. Uh-huh. Send us an update. Well, you know it was an enticing story when we spend the entire episode talking about it.
The whole episode talking about it. There's just so much to unpack there.
Yes.
But wow, what a dramatic, twisted, twists and turns and ups and downs story. But yeah. That's why we love doing what we do.
Yes. We love you all. We're sending.
Send in more messy.
All the love.
Send in more messy family stuff.
Yeah. We love the messy family
stuff. We love unpacking it. It's great.
Yeah. But also, like, I genuinely am sending love to everyone who's dealing with families.
I know.
I'm like, I don't want you to think, like, we're just, like, thriving off of it. But also, like, it's just, it's interesting to unpack such a packed story.
When I say, when I say we love unpacking it, I don't mean I'm thriving over here.
Yeah.
To be clear.
No, they know. They know us, Ash.
It's like
they
a puzzle,
us.
And I like trying to figure out, like, how to fix it. That's what
no,
I mean.
No, but they know us, and they know, I mean, we're so vocal about just mental health and health in general, like, whether it's physical, emotional, mentally, whatever. So obviously, like, I know during the holidays, like, just like I was talking about, like, that TikTok just fazed me because I'm like, there are so many families out there that are just exhausted trying to take care of their people the best they can. Yeah. So we obviously are sending all the love and positivity, but also this specific situation, we're just rooting for you that it gets worked out.
Yeah. Should we end it with a dad joke?
Duh. I got one prepped and ready.
Lovely.
Okay. These are, I got two, like, fitnessy ones for you, Ash.
Okay.
Okay. Why was the farmer arrested at the gym?
Something with a tractor.
Because he was destroying his calves.
Yeah. There you go.
What did the bodybuilder say when he opened his tub of protein powder?
Swole.
What?
Swole? Sure. Protein makes you swole.
He said, no way.
Ah, that's good. That's good. Guys, you already know the drill. If you made it to the dad joke, we love you the mostest. Send in all the family drama. Send in all the funny stories. Send in everything. We have a new year of all the fun content coming your way. And I wouldn't be here without you guys. We love you all. And we'll talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.